I invite any children to join Reverend Lindy in the old narthex for children's time.
Yeah.
A few children here, you're going to go back there. Nice enthusiasm on this holiday weekend. In the back. There you go. How are we called to be holy? Because it is clear in these readings today that we are indeed called to be holy. It is as if God indeed is making a commercial and saying, "Can you hear me now? Are we listening?" And there's clues to what this holiness is. In the reading from Leviticus, the first reading, "You shall be holy as I am holy," God tells Moses, and then speaks to how. With justice for the poor, for the alien, the one who is different. Do not steal, do not defraud. Treat the deaf, the blind, the less able with respect. Do not hate in your heart your kin. Do not take vengeance. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's the great commandment that Jesus returns to again and again. In the Psalm 119, which is all about the law, every verse mentions the law. The law is about being holy, and holiness is about being alive as human beings, being our true selves. In the epistle to the Corinthians, Paul says, "You are like the temple itself. You, the community of faith, you are called to be holy. Together, you belong to Christ." So holiness is about connecting and engaging in community, being part of a justice-seeking community. And in the gospel, as Rebecca Lyman put it last week at the beginning of this Sermon on the Mount, the great sermon that's part of today's gospel as well, she said Jesus is, quote, "reframing inherited tradition from perfection to radical faithfulness." Reframing inherited tradition from perfection to radical faithfulness. So Jesus is saying, "You have heard this about the law. I am saying this to you." In other words, go further. Do more. It reminds us of the classic Dickens orphan at the orphanage for his first meal. And when they eat, and what does he say after he eats that porridge, whatever it is? "May I have some more?" And people respond with demeaning astonishment, both those in authority and his peers. Don't be stupid. Nobody asks for more. Jesus is asking for more. Not more food for the body, but food for the soul. Jesus is asking us to love with everything that we have. And it is both shocking and challenging, both to the people in his day who heard him and to us still today. Not an eye for an eye, which was put in place to control spiraling violence, right? To curb violence. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. Give your cloak as well as your coat. Do not refuse anyone, even your enemy. You have heard that it was said, "Love your neighbor, hate your enemy." But I say to you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Be perfect. What do we do with this? How do we live in this way, this way of being holy? Because it seems nearly impossible in a world lacking in holiness. I want to say first that Jesus is not saying, obviously, he's not saying be a doormat. He's not saying be a victim. He's not saying be abused. He's not saying do not oppose evil. A better translation of do not resist an evildoer is do not react with hostility to one who is evil. Don't become evil in opposing evil. We know there is evil out there, and we must oppose it, but we must oppose it with integrity. And somehow, even love our enemies. Love must define us. How do we do that? On June 17th, 2015, you will remember nine people of Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Charleston, South Carolina, were shot to death in their church. The 21-year-old self-proclaimed white supremacist shooter came into the room and sat with them during the Bible study. Stayed the whole time at their invitation. And as they were ending and bowing their heads to pray, he shot them, killing nine. Pure evil. In the midst of shock and pain and suffering and losing loved ones, 3 days later, when invited to share a statement at the shooter's bond hearing, several of the family members turned to the shooter and said, "I forgive you. I forgive you." I don't know if I could have done that. Only a devout heart could accomplish such an act. Only a radically faithful heart could stop the downward spiral, the dark spiral of hostility, the way of the world too often, and respond in a way that changed them and their own future. Violence and vengeance would not be theirs. And even such evil, hateful, racist, unmanageable, cold-heartedness and disregard would not take away from them their faith in Christ and their call to follow Christ, to be holy. They would not raise the bar of hate and violence. They would raise the bar of forgiveness. Amazing. Miraculous. Mentally hopeful and spiritually true. Brutality was powerless in their hearts. They were still children of God, and somehow, so was the shooter. Even unrepentant. When Jesus says in today's gospel, "Be perfect," he is calling all of us to be holy. And to be holy is to strive. It's to do everything we can. The word used here for perfect, its root is telos, as in teleological, as in the end, the aim, the goal. We're called to strive to be radically faithful. It's a journey we continually strive for imperfectly, and yet we're called to be wholehearted in that striving. This is being holy, to do everything we can to follow Jesus and to love, knowing that we are temples of the Holy Spirit and trying to be at home with that divine within us in the midst of everything that challenges us, anxiety, insecurity, fear. We're called to decrease antagonism to increase the promise of the human heart, to decrease prejudice, to decrease fear, to decrease division, and try our best to love, to give reward, to help, and to heal. Not easy. And yet we're called. My son Ryan, many of you know, 29 years old. On Tuesday, he was in excruciating pain and vomiting, was taken to the hospital in an ambulance. Turned out to be a perforated ulcer. He's still in the hospital on IV and he's okay, but they're trying to figure out what's going on. So that was a shock on Tuesday. Not knowing what was happening and knowing he was heading to the hospital. Leanne texted with his girlfriend in the emergency room eventually and said she was coming down, flying down. Ryan, in the midst of his pain, told his girlfriend, "Tell my mother she doesn't need to come." Leanne texted back, "Just try and stop me. Just try and stop me." I dropped her off at the airport Tuesday night about 8 p.m. I said, "Happy Valentine's Day." And she was off. And she's still there, sleeping in the room. Her dad's a doctor. Her brother-in-law's an emergency room physician. And she knows, even in a good hospital, you need an advocate. You need someone asking questions, taking care, being thorough, and doing what you can to heal this person. Because everybody's busy, and everybody makes mistakes. Just try and stop me. Jesus calls us all to have such a burning love, a burning heart with no boundaries. We're called to love each other like family, all of us, to oppose evil and to hold on to our integrity, rise above any details of pettiness or fear or violence, hostility, and to see the end and the means together, to try to care for each other as best we can. There is nothing more powerful or more promising to follow Christ in this way. In the loving spirit of Christ, may it be so. May we all strive to be holy. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Let us walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering to God. Amen.